Well, welcome back to another episode of Ask a Catholic Therapist. I'm Dr. Matt Bruninger. Today we're talking about effective listening strategies. Let's get into the question. So Nicholas asks, what really is listening? What really is listening? How can one improve his or her listening capabilities? And how would you teach others, especially children, how to listen? This question comes from somebody who wishes to be more kind, thoughtful, attentive, and somebody who also wants to have children someday. So I want to give you a couple tips and tricks to think about effective listening. I think what we'll do is we'll break this video up into three parts. We'll do what is listening and some tips and tricks. We'll do obstacles to good listening, and then we'll do how to teach kids to listen. So first up, what really is listening? So I personally think about listening as an opportunity to be drawn into the experience of somebody else. Listening for me is an attempt to allow myself to be drawn or led into somebody else's experiences. And in doing so, I think what oftentimes happens is we validate the person. We give the person a sense of dignity, a sense of respect. What we do is we show them that their story matters. We show them that their thought matters. We show them that they matter. Now, we can disagree with what somebody's saying. Even if we're listening deeply, even if we're listening effectively, we can disagree with somebody. Effective listening doesn't mean that we agree with everything. It doesn't mean that we condone everything. But it's a disposition that we hold toward the person who's speaking. And we show them that we're deeply trying to understand their position. By being drawn into or led into their experience, their thought, their story, we're showing them that they matter. Like, as a person, they matter. We're showing them a certain respect and reverence. We're giving them a certain dignity that you know, as creatures made in the image and likeness of God, they deserve. And so, what is listening? For me, being led, being drawn into somebody else's story, allowing myself to be, in an attempt to understand what they're saying. Even if I disagree with it, understand it deeply. And in doing so, communicate to them a certain respect, reverence, and dignity. How can we do that? I think there's four things. Let's talk about four things. I want to talk about attending behaviors, open-ended questions, reflections, and summaries. So first off, what are attending behaviors? Attending behaviors are any behavior that you engage in when you're actively listening to somebody. Attending are the behaviors that signal and show active listening. So if you want to show somebody that you're listening to them, if your arms are crossed, if you're looking away from them, if the tone of your voice is cold, distant, bored, if you're not making eye contact, these are all behaviors that signal that you're not interested, you're not looking, you're not paying attention. Attending behaviors are the behaviors that show that I'm with you. And so what can we do to show that we're attending to somebody? Open up our posture, right? Leaning inward slightly. Right? Open our posture up. If we have a sort of closed off posture or a disinterested posture, you know, we want to show that we're available, right? That we're interested. So opening your posture up, leaning in a little bit, right? Sometimes I'll lean in. Making good eye contact, not aggressive eye contact, but sort of a gentle gaze, right? Using a tone of voice that's calming, a tone of voice that's patient. These are all behaviors that signal and suggest I'm listening. So when I come home from work and my kids are telling me all about their day, they tell me about their go-kart, they're telling me about playing Legos or what they built, or if I come in and I start cooking dinner and I'm looking at the stove and I'm also sort of having a conversation with my wife while they're talking, right? I'm not facing them. These are not attending behaviors. Attending means I get down, I look at them, I say, hey baby, what's going on? Tell me about your day. My tone of voice changes. I look my daughter in the eye. I open up my body posture, right? I'm not being aggressive. I'm not being withdrawn. I'm showing her I'm with her. Okay, so that's attending. The second is open-ended questions. When we ask open-ended questions, what we do is we signal and communicate that we want to understand. See, an open-ended question is a question that cannot be answered with a yes or no. Closed-ended questions are questions that you can say yes or no to. The problem with closed-ended questions is twofold. One, they don't allow curiosity or further exploration. They don't allow a deeper understanding to emerge. Two, oftentimes when we ask a closed-ended question, we're taking our perception or understanding of a problem and sort of bringing it to bear. So somebody's speaking and I say, well, were you angry? Yeah. Oh, were you sad? Yeah. Rather than asking or inviting the person to share more of their experience and use the language terms, tell the stories that are going to help me understand more deeply, I'm sort of bringing the conversation to a point. I'm bringing it to a head in my terms, in my language, and asking them. I'm sort of forcing the speaker into categories that I'm comfortable with. Closed questions can close conversations. Open-ended questions, on the other hand, signal to somebody that I want to hear more, I want to understand more, that I want to be drawn into their experience, into their thought, into their idea, into their story. And by doing this, by asking an open-ended question, we communicate, one, genuine interest, but we're also showing that we're listening deeply, because when I ask a good open-ended question, I'm showing the person that I'm following the story and that I want to be led into the story more deeply. So when somebody's telling me about feeling angry, I say, oh, what was that anger like for you? What was it like to feel so afraid or to react so strongly? What was it like to express your anger to your parents like that? How did they respond? Right? Asking an open-ended question shows I'm following the story, shows I'm interested, and shows I want to understand. So we have attending, right? My body posture, my tone of voice, my eye contact, asking open-ended questions. The next thing is reflections. Now, a reflection is, as the name suggests, holding back or showing to the person what they've said to me. A reflection is giving back to the person what they've said to me. And this shows that I'm following. It shows that I'm paying attention. It shows that I'm listening. So there's two types of reflections. There's simple reflections and complex reflections. A simple reflection is when you use a part of the word or phrase that the person you're speaking with has used. So if my wife says, I'm just feeling so tired and overwhelmed, I say, ah, babe, you're tired. Or if a student says, Dr. B, I just feel really worried that I don't know the material. And I say, yeah, you're worried. I'm using the phrases or words that the person is using to show them that I'm paying attention, I'm listening. That's a simple reflection. A complex reflection, on the other hand, is when I take the story that's being told to me and I boil it down to sort of the heart, the deepest meaning. I boil it down to its sort of most, how might you say it? You boil it down to sort of its most potent form, or its, you clear away the debris and you reflect back to the person the core of what they're saying, the very harder core of what they're saying. So let me give an example of a nice complex reflection. A student comes into my office and they say, Dr. B, I'm feeling like I don't know what to do. My girlfriend broke up with me. My parents' marriage is falling apart. They're each calling me to share their side of the story. I have to apply to med schools, but I haven't taken the MCAT yet, and I haven't been studying as much as I should because, I'm playing two Division III sports, and that's been tough given that, it's my senior year, and I want to spend time with friends, and I've been trying to work out things with the girlfriend. And I might say, you're feeling really overwhelmed right now. Gosh, you're feeling really overwhelmed. What I've done is I've taken all of that data, all of that story, and I've sort of boiled it down into a simple expression of what they're saying. I'm trying to capture in the simplest form the core of what they're saying. Wow, you're feeling really overwhelmed. Or somebody might say, I just didn't know what to do. Real life example, the other day our basement flooded and I kind of panicked. I was doing a little bit of everything. I was doing a little bit of nothing. And I was trying to tell my wife about it at the end of the night. And And you know, a nice complex reflection, as I was telling her, I was really kind of talking quite a bit. A nice complex reflection would have been simply, you felt stuck, you felt frozen, or you felt unsure of yourself. Right? I was telling all these different stories, but what they boiled down to is, I felt unsure of myself. So a good reflection captures somebody's experience and shows it back to them, it hands it back to them, and it shows them that you're listening deeply. It shows them that you care, and it shows them that you don't just want to hear the surface, but you want to understand at a level beneath the surface. So we have attending, open-ended questions, reflections, and the final skill is summaries. I like to think of summaries as picking up flowers that somebody has been dropping for me, and I gather those flowers up into a bouquet, and I hand it back to them. And so if my son's talking to me at the end of the night, and he's telling me all about his day, what I try to do is I try to take the high points of what he's told me, gather them up, and hand them back to them. Wow, so it sounds like you had a lot of fun with your friend George playing on the go-kart, and then you got to do a little bit of art, and it sounds like that was a little bit frustrating, but you're happy you got it done, and then you felt kind of frustrated that you had to take the garbage out. Right? I gather up what was said, I summarize it, and I hand it back to him. And summaries show that we're paying attention. And they show that we're not getting lost. We're paying attention to the high points of a conversation, right? So if we can bring all these skills together, if we can attend, right, with our body posture, our tone of voice, our eye contact, if we can ask open-ended questions that show curiosity, if we can reflect back the core or the simplest sort of most potent expression of what's being said to us, and if we can summarize the high points, this really goes a long way in practicing effective listening, deep listening, allowing ourselves to follow and be drawn into somebody else's story. And in doing so, communicate that they matter, we respect them, and that we want to understand. So I hope these help.